Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're continuing our Summer Money series with Douglas Bonaparte, another CFP, and we're talking about how to be honest with your financial goals.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
All right, Doug, I am so excited to welcome you to the podcast to talk all about some summer money tips.
That's right. Let's help some people.
Awesome. So before we kind of get into the tips, I know you're out just like I am, you know, spreading the word about financial literacy, and you're kind of everywhere. So give the listeners a little bit of background about who you are and how you kind of got to the CFP career that you're in.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Douglas Bonaparte, and I'm the president of Bonafide Wealth, which is a Manhattan-based boutique wealth management firm specializing in hardworking young professionals, millennials, and entrepreneurs, of which there's no short supply of those in Manhattan. And what I like to do is invest in people first and know that by doing so, we're going to grow together and we're going to achieve those great things in life together. So that's a little bit about myself. And how I got involved in this was growing up the son of a certified financial planner. Short of bribery, I think I was kind of brought into the business.
It was hypnosis at night, right?
Oh,
you will do
yeah.
this.
It was far worse than that. you know, I think I was finishing my freshman year, and my father said, "So what are you doing this summer?" And I didn't want to leave school. It was way too much fun. I said, I think I'm just going to stick around and take classes, of course. And he says, "You know what? Why don't you do that in the second half of the summer? You know, go check out our home office." And when I came back from that little trip, on my bed was a Series 7 manual. And, you know, from there, every summer, industry, real fun stuff, industry exams. And before I moved to New York City to start my own kind of career, after working with my dad for 4 years, I took up the CFP and figured, hey, why don't I try and get this done at 25? And from there, it was year by year, just building and grinding. And eventually, as of December last year, so note that that was 2008 to end of 2016. So 8 years of really just kind of working hard and figuring out, getting an MBA, and really, again, hustling as hard as I could to launch my own firm and specialize in what I'm doing. So I that's 12 years of my life in a nutshell.
Yeah. So I can imagine being in New York. You're on the other coast from me. You know, I bet there's some interesting dynamics with millennials. What is it like for a millennial to live and work and have some cash in Manhattan? Is it tough?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of cliche expressions about, you know, the city that never sleeps and the Big Apple. And it's one of those places that, you know, either you're going to beat it or it's going to beat you. And I think it brings out the best, and some people say it can bring out the worst, but I think it brings out the best in people. Competition's very, very real there. It's perhaps cutthroat depending on what industry you're in, finance, law, and even being an entrepreneur. You know, there's a lot of pressure there. But that's what I like. It motivates me, and those are the types of people that I want to work with, the people who almost have no time to focus on some of the things, you know, surrounding their personal financial life, and they need someone that they can trust and relate to. So that's why I view there being an opportunity. And I love watching people grow. I love investing in people and seeing where their hard work takes them. I know where it took me. So it's easy to spot people who are working at that same capacity, and I want to work with them.
Yeah, I think we both share kind of that same love for, you know, people who are passionate about what they do and, you know, maybe just have never learned the tools or, you know, tips, or just don't even have anyone to go to that looks like them to talk about money.
Exactly. Yeah, we were just talking beforehand about there being, you know, some issues in the industry, and I voice them pretty frequently, and the CFP board knows them very well. It's a gender problem. There are too many male advisors over female, so a shortage of female advisors or CFPs. There's obviously a ethnicity problem. There's just a lot of white men we were talking about, me included.
I've been in many of those rooms.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, you can't go to a CE credit day and not, I'm sure for you, feel like, all right, well, one of these things is not like the others. And then there's also just an age gap. You know, the industry is graying, and the average age being upper 50s really, really creates some interesting times ahead for the industry. And that's maybe a conversation for another time. But those are the challenges that are out there. And for a lot of people, they're opportunities. For me, you know, I think they're, and you, obviously, these are massive opportunities to be very successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're rolling into the summer, and, you know, summer is normally time when we think about vacations and things like that. But it's also, I think, a great time to think about your money situation, and maybe a time where you have a little bit more headspace. You're not as stressful. You know, some people have summer hours and things like that. I want to talk about some tips you might have of how people could start to get their money in shape this summer. Are there any like top three tips maybe that roll off your head of people who are, you know, not working with a financial planner and, you know, but really want to try and make some change in their finances this summer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, regardless of season, I think these are evergreen tips, but, you know, if this is the time that you're taking to get your financial house in order, let's start with the following system pertaining to goals. And it's not enough just to know what your goals are. And I think it's obviously very important to identify them. It's the first step, really. And, you know, they're going to change over time, but this is where you need to have an honest conversation with yourself. What is it that you really want to accomplish? And you know, I could get all, you know, inspirational here and be like, you know, you only live one time. What is it you want to do in this life? And get really charged up like I often do. But the first step is to identify those goals. So find out what it is that you want to accomplish so they become real. And then there's two other components to this. You have to then quantify them by time and value. I think it's very important to know when you want to achieve this goal and how much is that goal going to cost. Some of these things in the short term are easy. So if it's saving for a home or paying down student loan debt, you know what those amounts are. If you know the kind of house you want to build, or you know what your, hopefully you know what your outstanding student loan balance is, and then you can come up with the time frame. And that way, by doing some simple math, you know what it will take each month to actually make that goal happen. And the third is to prioritize your goals. And this is because we have more than one goal. And if money wasn't an option, we wouldn't need to do this. You could just solve all your goals right there. But money is an option.
I
we
know.
Have to be, yeah, it's a shame. We all can't hold that lotto ticket. Although, you know, if you have a dollar, you have a dream, right?
Right.
But by prioritizing them, we understand where our first and our last dollar of savings should go and how to sacrifice one goal for another. I'll give you an example. My wife Heather and I, you know, we had a baby a year and a half ago, and all of a sudden buying a house became our number one goal because it would solve a lot of things in our life, not just a roof over our head, but we needed more space, we needed schools for our child, and things like that. So paying back our student loan debt at an accelerated pace, of course, making our normal payments was mandatory, or saving additionally for retirement, those became second or third to that primary goal of saving for a home. So,
and I think that's a really important thing to talk about because, you know, we live in an era right now where, you know, certainly all the articles, not all, the majority of the articles that you read online or blogs or things like that are about being, you know, you got to rapidly pay off all of your stuff all at once, you know, and it puts people, I think, a little bit in a frenzy about it. You know,
I've
heard couples who have, you know, endless arguments over this, you know, to the point where they're throwing out the, you know, the terrible D word. And I think that, you know, it's great that you bring this tip up because your goals do change, obviously. And if a goal is buying a house, then yeah, it's totally okay to put some of the other stuff, some of the rapid debt payoff on kind of the back burner.
Yeah, you know, there's no really hard and fast or, you know, always the right answer. And the reason for that is personal goals are personal. They're completely subjective. And I don't want, you know, as an advisor, I never tell my clients, like, this has to be more important than this in your life. Think about that. I just told someone what's important in their life should be the other way around. They're going to tell me what's important in their life. So I definitely want listeners to know that when you're honest with your own financial goals and you can quantify them and prioritize them, don't let anybody tell you what is more important to you. It just doesn't make sense that way. You have to go for that. Look, I would have loved to have paid down debt faster and maxed out the 401ks and retirement plans and saved for a home. That just wasn't what was going on in our lives. And we knew by doing that exercise, we knew what the consequences, so to speak, were of doing one goal versus the other. We went into this eyes wide open. And that's what I want people to do is just go, you know, it's okay. It might not be ideal, might not be what you really want, but you're
sure,
fully aware of what that means to your financial life. That's empowerment to me. So that's tip number one.
And how often do you suggest that people look at their goals or review their goals?
Sure. So goals can be, you know, short-term, intermediate, long-term. So as you live your life, you'll cycle through short-term goals. So we bought a house, right? That's done. I don't plan on buying another one anytime soon.
They're expensive.
They are. And apparently you have to upkeep them. And you know,
I call it my
big pit of money I just get to throw cash into. Now, no, don't let that detract you from home ownership. It can be a great thing. But because short-term goals get cycled through, you're going to find yourself moving on to your next goal. Now, the long-term goals, they tend to stick around, right? So financial independence, otherwise known as retirement, you know, this is that moving target we're always trying to hit and get to. So when you think of it like that, from the short end to the long end, you'll find that, you know, you want to be nimble here. You want to be able to, and it's a good point you bring up, because what might be your goal today could easily, you know, turn into something different, right? Having kids. Yep. Like, oh my goodness, we're having a child. All of a sudden, priorities get shuffled around in those cases quite a bit. So life's fickle, right? Things will change.
I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Absolutely. Awesome. All right. So what's up for tip number two?
Okay. So we're still staying with fundamentals here, because I think that, you know, the second part along with the first tip is really where most of personal financial foundations are laid. And that is mastering cash flow, right? So We really want to get intimate with this part of our financial life. And that's understanding what's coming in and going out each month. We should have a really good understanding of what it is you're making. You should know what you're making.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Please start there.
Please start there. And I understand if you're hustling or you have a side hustle on top of your main job, or your main hustle is that side hustle, or you're just, you know, variability in pay is, you know, the new norm for so many young professionals. It's always been the American way though, right? Starting
your
own business. Yeah. It's like a renaissance. But if there's variability in pay and you've been doing it for a while, you should be able to set some targets for yourself and say like low, medium, and high. So understand whether you're a salaried employee or an entrepreneur with variability in pay, just have a good understanding of what's coming in or a good estimate of what that's going to be. All right. So that's the top line, right?
That's usually the easy part.
Yeah.
Right?
Always the easy part.
We love to write down how much money we're making. It's the second part that gets a little sticky.
Right. So we're going to move into the bottom line. So this is where money is going, and cash flow is what's actually happening, and your budget, you know, is what you think is happening, right? And the difference between those two is how much you're lying to yourself. Now,
you're speaking my language. Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is your wheelhouse right here.
Yes.
So the goal is to reconcile, you know, what it is you're actually spending your money on against what it is you're budgeting for, because that budget, you know, should have what it is you're hoping to save each month. So this is ultimately why this tip is very important, because we want to uncover what it is, hopefully, we can save. And if you can't, if you're not in a position to do that yet, or if you're moving backwards, you know, for legitimate reasons, as well as, you know, hey, you're just out of control reasons, you know, this is really where we want to do our analysis to find out what's going on, what changes we need to make. Look, you know, again, one of these things I, you know, when dealing in my practice, I never tell my clients how to spend their money. If a bagel and latte every morning is what gets you out of bed so you can go crush it and do really well and compete and reach for excellence, please, for the love of God, keep drinking that latte and having that bagel. You know, maybe it's the fancy dinners four times a week. That is excessive, which, you know, it probably is. But again, it's not my business. What I care about is, you said in this first step, these are my goals. Here's when I want to achieve them. These are the most important ones. I'm going to need X dollars a month, which, by the way, I budgeted for, at least for goal number one and two. And then 3 months go by and you say to yourself, well, geez, you know, I should have had $6,000 saved up. I only have four. Well, what happened there?
Right.
You know, what does cash flow tell you that you've done? And I ask you to do one of two things when you're there. Either change the behavior, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I spent too much. I did that thing. I went on that trip. I bought that stuff. I probably need to kind of calm down over this next quarter, or own it, right?
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways. And it's okay to own that. But what's that mean? That means go back to your goals and say, all right, well, I'm not ready to give up this kind of lifestyle expense, right? This kind of cash flow situation where I felt really good doing the things that I was doing, or this is what I could afford to do. It's just my situation. I'm going to have to adjust those goals. I'm going to be honest with myself and recognize that maybe instead of goal A being accomplished in 24 months, it needs to be 36, because I want to live a certain way. That's owning it to me, and that's perfectly okay. Now, this is the last part. If you find yourself punting that goal every single quarter or every single year, these are the things that working with advisors are good for. You know, you and I, we'll call you out for this.
Right.
We will.
Right, exactly.
If you just don't listen, maybe the relationship's not going to last, but that's okay.
So what do you say to people that are kind of struggling with, you know, whether they save money each month or they pay off debt? Because there's a lot of people in that kind of, you know, teeter-totter where they're like, God, I don't even know which way to go on this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is always, even when I'm doing speaking engagements too, this always comes up. There's always someone in the crowd that's like, well, my loan's at X percent. You know, there's always the person looking for the strict financial answer. Like, what's the most productive use of that dollar? You know, and they're trying to, and they kind of know that, and they're trying to get you in a way. And I appreciate that, because they're definitely demonstrating some more advanced understanding of finance. But, look, you know, subjectivity rears its face again in this department. So, like, I'll give you an example. You know, a cash reserve, right, sitting in money market, checking, savings. So this is just 3 to 6 months of your living expenses, high and dry in cash. You know, what's the value of that security?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
How do you quantify that? And you know, for someone who's risk adverse or very nervous about their job or their life or where they are, you know, that cash reserve could mean everything. It could be invaluable. Yet from a financial function, it's earning 0.01% in your checking account.
Yep. Wow.
So look at the disparity there. You're like, how do you really place that value? There's that subjectivity component once again. But look, everyone has a balancing point. And again, being honest with yourself, if you're the kind of person who really, really can't, you know, deal with the fact there's too much emotion behind the fact you have debt and you want to attack that and you don't want to save for anything else and you want to, you know, just be a complete hawk about it, by all means, you know, go for it. You know, if that's how aggressive you want to be, just please understand that you might not have that cash reserve. You might be putting off other goals in your life to go do that, you know. And then it's the other way around where, you know, I'm going to do income based repayments on my debt, which by the way is a crutch, or I'm going to pay my minimum right. So I can go, you know, focus on my career. I want to make VP. I want to make managing director. I'm going to bet on myself, because if I can do that, who cares about this student loan debt? I'll have that paid off next bonus. There's the other, and that's the other extreme, right?
Yeah.
So people are going to find, hopefully gravitate towards more of a mean, more of the middle there, and find out what works best for them. Again, go back to step one, go back to what your goals are and which ones are most important to you. Let that dictate how it is you allocate your savings.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. All right. So what about a third tip?
All right. This is a shameless plug, and that's This is to go by the Millennial Money Fix, which is your summer reading assignment from me. This is a book my wife and I wrote, and it comes out August 21st, and I'd love to tell you about it.
Yeah, so tell us about it.
Sure. So we call my wife the millennial problem, because here is somebody who in 2007, when we graduated from the University of Florida, decided, let's go to law school. Let's go to New York City. Let's take out $250,000 in student loan debt. And, you know, from everything they're telling me here in the financial aid office, I should be able to pay that back in 5 years. And of course, like many Americans, I don't think anyone counted on 2008 happening there. So Heather, as well as many of our friends, demonstrated what the consequences can be of not having a financial education. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to take it further than that. We really wanted to examine what the financial challenges are facing millennials, facing this generation, both young and old. And we were able to pretty much point to four things: the lack of financial education, the rising cost of higher education, of college, the availability of student loans, so student loan debt, and the labor environment that we're in. You know, we were talking about gig economy, hustle. I mean, it's really very different from what our parents and grandparents faced. So that's the problem. And then we wanted to provide the fix. And this is going to be the most practical personal financial book that you can pick up. We're going to bring you chronologically from graduating high school all the way through some form of retirement that we're calling financial independence. So we're going to give you all the lessons that you should have learned but didn't. We're going to use our humor, and we're going to use our own stories from having gone through this ourselves. We have skin in the game on this.
You got to have humor, right?
Got to have humor to deal with the six figures of students, multiple six figures. And, you know, this isn't Doug. Oh, what does he know about, you know, this? Oh, we know it all too well. And what we want to share with you is hopefully the information in this book is going to show you, by leading by example, that you can have six figures in student loan debt. You still can achieve the great things in life, start families, buy homes, you know, have retirement or financial independence. These are things that can be had if you just learn a little bit more about personal finance and these tools that you should have been equipped with. We're here to tell you it's possible.
Oh, I love it. All right. So tell us again when the book comes out and where we can find it.
Absolutely. So the book comes out August 21st, and you can pre-order it right now. You can go to themillennialmoneyfix.com. It's on Amazon. You can find it there at barnesandnoble.com. It'll be in bookstores. But everyone goes to amazon.com, right? Yeah. But themillennialmoneyfix.com, we built a website for it. It'll be social media, all that great stuff. And please pick up a copy today and let us know what you think.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll put a link for everybody in the show notes too, so they can just head directly over there. They don't even have to remember it.
That's great.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Doug, for joining us on the podcast. We've loved having you. And hey, we'd love to have you back again closer to the actual book launch and talk more about those tips.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such a great experience. Thank you. Thank you. And I will definitely be back.